oh, geez, maybe like My Bloody Valentine-esque vibes. You know what I mean? Listen to the guitar, probably a Fender Jazzmaster or two involved in that one, I would hazard to guess. But you're on The Daily here with Jared Cross. How are you going out there if you've just joined us? Hope you're enjoying your Monday. Hope you haven't been scrolling through social media all too much. We know it's a prism you can get locked into, but in the digital age, you know, most of us do have it. With that, I don't know, you've probably seen those bots, you know, those random accounts, fake accounts, bots requesting to follow you or to friend you or anything like that. You might even think that they're harmless. You might even think that it's a bit more, I don't know, there's a little bit more to it. You might be a little bit more wary of all that's going on. But it does turn out, I must admit, that they've given way to a form of propaganda in the political realm called computational propaganda. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But here to talk with us about the impact of bots in politics is the University of Sydney's lecturer in digital cultures, Dr. Olga Boychek. Olga, how's it going?
Hi, Jared. Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for joining the show. I do appreciate your time. So first of all, computational propaganda. I don't know. It sounds a little bit scary, I must admit. Is it as scary as it probably sounds? Should we be so wary of it?
Well, we should be aware of it, I would say. It's not always scary, but it's definitely happening. And so by computational propaganda, we mean this communicative practice that involves the use of algorithms, of automation, and also of human curation, actually, to purposefully manage and distribute misleading information over social media.
I see. So are they all, they're not all malicious then, I'll take it. Are some of them just simply random people creating random fake accounts? Can some be helpful even, or is it just, should we not worry about the vast majority of them?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So there's such a diversity of actors under this term, this umbrella term of bot. There's actually a lot of definitional ambiguities, which makes it very hard to regulate those accounts at a policy level. There's a lot of useful bots that are information aggregators. There are a lot of useful bots that provide high-quality entertainment content.
Right.
So, for example, there is this Pentametron bot that scrapes Twitter for tweets written in iambic pentameter. And so when you read their feed, it looks like Shakespeare wrote it, but it's aggregated from different people's tweets. So
right.
So bots overall, so there are some benevolent accounts under that umbrella term. Bots actually aren't new. They've emerged back. We can trace them back to the 90s where we had those internet relay chat, chat bots, and also even smart voice assistants such as Siri, such as Alexa, are in the essence, they're bots. They might appear slightly more intelligent, artificially intelligent, I need to say, but they're still, the principle is the same, that there's software, there's an algorithm that has a set of rules and conditions on how that account behaves.
So how does this influence kind of elections, I guess, domestically in Australia, but then globally? In your research, the term manufacture consensus comes about a lot. Can you maybe give us a little context into that?
Yes, absolutely. So a manufacturing consensus is this idea that there are some groups of people that support a certain position.
Mm-hmm.
And so what bots are doing is usually a lot of us who are on Twitter, we know that when we tweet, sometimes it seems like we're just speaking into the abyss, that our tweets aren't seen by anyone, that are not noticed. And so what manufacturing consensus does is if bots or trolls, right, so there's a lot of diversity under those bot accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so if these accounts start retweeting and liking those messages, it may seem like there is an electoral base or a base of people who support or somehow approve of this message.
Right.
That is very misleading. Sometimes we might be retweeting things that we're outraged with, but that would still surface these messages to the top of the kind of the information feed. And so that is when this megaphone effect is really potentially harmful.
I see. So it's really just like a drumming up, I suppose, of, well, not noise, I guess in this sense, it's ones and zeros, isn't it? But just in the same way that anyone that's yelling and screaming, whoever is yelling and screaming the loudest, seems to get the most... geez, the words escape me again. I guess people seem to look at the best or to follow the best, or at least it's going to, I don't know, people are going to see it the most, yes?
Not always. And so in our research, what we found, we were really interested, right? Because if there is someone with a megaphone and if they're yelling at a stadium, then it seems like these messages should reach far and wide. And so we looked at the United States election in 2016 and at the German election in 2017. Mm-hmm. And our question was, do they actually help diffuse information to new audiences, or are they just yelling into the abyss? So if Donald Trump, and we actually know that this is a historical fact, that one of his rallies was hijacked by a combination of K-pop fans, and if you remember that story. So there's Donald Trump with a megaphone at an empty stadium, and so that is what sometimes this megaphone effect is. So if there's nobody listening, then it is not effective. However, in the U.S. election, it was actually effective, and this has to do with where bots are in those information diffusion networks. So as soon as bots actually get themselves followership among social media users, we call them authentic social media users, mm-hmm. that is when they can, that manufacturing consensus can actually influence people's sense of social reality, I guess. And that is when they become powerful. That is when the candidate which they are amplifying, and there have been a lot of candidates in both of those elections that have been, whose messages have been amplified. So it's not only Donald Trump, it's just a kind of an example. But